Are you ready to wow your friends with trivia tidbits about your favourite books and authors? Join me, Jess.
And me, Rachel.
On our new Book Trivia Podcast.
Each episode, we kick off with some fun book trivia, then dive into our featured read with plenty of juicy behind-the-scenes insights.
If you love books, authors, and a side of silliness, then why not give us a listen?
Find us at booktriviapodcast.com or on Reddit, Instagram, and Substack, where we are Book Trivia Podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Three Fates Decide. My name is Sam, and I am here to do a solo episode on the new Disney movie, The Little Mermaid, which just came out this past weekend. By the time you guys hear this episode, the movie will have been in the theaters for about 2 weeks. So if you haven't seen it yet and you don't want spoilers, please come back another time. However, if you did see it and you want to know our review, feel free to stay on. But again, spoilers ahead. Spoilers ahead.
You think you know what we're going to talk about.
And welcome back to Three Fates Decide.
It just sounds more dramatic that way.
All right, so this week we are going to be talking about...
But just when you least expect it, we changed the game.
One Will Smith slapped Chris Rock.
I mean, we always celebrated Easter.
Harry Potter, the Half-Blood Prince.
So we're going to do another free talk, freestyle thing. No planned discussion.
At the end of the day, only one thing matters. We decide.
We're going to hit the main highlights.
That is the thing, like what we were saying back in that episode.
A quick recap.
Three Fates Decide podcast.
Okay, let's get right into it. So, The Little Mermaid is the newest Disney movie to come out. It is the live action version of the 1989 cartoon, which was one of, if not my favorite, Disney movie growing up. It stars Hailey Bailey, who plays Ariel, and then you have Jonah Howard King, who plays Prince Eric. You have Melissa McCarthy, who plays Ursula. You have Javier Bardem, who plays King Triton. You have David Diggs, who is the voice of Sebastian. And then you have Jacob Tremblay, who is the voice of Flounder, and Awkwafina is the voice of Scuttle. There's a lot about this movie that's exactly like the 1989 cartoon, and then there's some changes. So basically the plot, Ariel is the youngest daughter of King Triton, who's the king of the seven seas and ruler of all mer people. Ariel has always wanted to, you know, study humans, surface people, very much like her mother, and King Triton is dead set against it. She collects things from shipwrecks and things like that because she's just so infatuated by the human race. She does eventually go up to the surface where she sees Prince Eric and actually saves him from his own shipwreck, falls in love with him. Her father, you know, kind of destroys all of her things, basically telling her she's not allowed to be with him, all that stuff. So then she, you know, kind of like runs away. She goes to see Ursula, who is a sea witch, who basically says, I'll give you what you want. I'll give you 3 days to go up there and see if you can get him to kiss you and fall in love with you. And if not, then you're mine. But the catch, obviously, is you can't use your voice. And Ariel does it. She goes up. She's trying to win over Eric. Just as it's about to happen, Ursula decides, since she has Ariel's voice, to change into a human herself and kind of like take over so that Eric falls for her. But Ariel manages to get her voice back at the last second. And just as they're about to kiss, you know, the sun sets on the third day. She turns into a mermaid. Ursula takes her back under the sea because she's now hers. Triton steps in, but, you know, there's a battle. And basically at the end, Ursula's gone and Triton realizes that, you know, she really loves him, loves Eric, and allows her to become human, and they all live happily ever after. So that's basically the premise of the story. So again, premise is exactly the same in this, but there are definitely some changes. So some of the differences that occurred in this movie is, number one, there were three new songs. There was a song called For the First Time, which takes place after Ariel turns into a human and she's being brought to the castle. In her head, she's kind of singing and like freaking out about like finally being human and all that stuff and finally getting to meet Eric and all that. So that was one song, Wild Uncharted Waters. So Prince Eric gets his own song in this, and it was an amazing song. I am sure every tenor known to man is going to be singing that for auditions for the next like year or so, because it was just a very, very good song. And then the other one is Scuttlebutt, which Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote, and that's Scuttle's like rap song, and it's basically takes place when Scuttle finds out that Eric is going to propose to somebody and he's trying to wake Ariel up. That one they probably could have done without. It didn't really make a difference for me. It wasn't like, oh my god, this is amazing. And listen, I love Lin-Manuel Miranda, don't get me wrong, but I don't think the song was necessarily needed, but it didn't bother me. It was fine, honestly. And then a couple of the lyrics in other songs got updated, mostly in Kiss the Girl and Poor Unfortunate Souls. In Kiss the Girl, they changed the words. The original words were, possible she wants you to, there is one way to ask her. And it became, possible she wants you to, use your words, boy, and ask her. And also they changed, it don't take a word, not a single word. And that became, if the time is right and the time is tonight. So Alan Menken said that the reason why they changed those lyrics is because they wanted to make consent an active part of the scene. Basically consent has become, you know, very big this day and age compared to, I guess, 1989. And he just really wants to make it known that Eric would never force himself on Ariel, who could not verbally give consent. And then in Poor Unfortunate Souls, they completely removed a whole verse, including the body language line, and they dote and swoon and fawn on a lady who's withdrawn. It's he who holds her tongue who gets her man. So Alan Menken feels that it makes young girls, you know, feel that they shouldn't speak out of turn, even though Ursula's manipulating Ariel at that part. But he doesn't want girls to feel like, you know, this is true, that men, you know, like it when you don't speak up for yourself. So, you know, basically he said it's 2023, times have changed, so he's changing the words that he, you know, it's his song, so technically he can do whatever he wants, but, you know, it's time to grow with the times is basically what he's saying. Another change is Scuttle is a completely different species. So in the 1989 cartoon, Scuttle was a seagull. However, in this case, he is not. He is a northern gannet, and that actually helps in one scene. So in the original, after Ariel, you know, chases off the shark, she goes up to the surface to meet Scuttle and shows Scuttle the fork, which she calls a Dinkelhopper and all that stuff. But in order to change a little plot thing where Ariel has never gone to the surface up to this point, they had Scuttle come down and do that whole scene underwater. And I remember when I watched it, I was like, how the heck is this bird staying under for so long? But apparently the northern gannet is a diving bird that can stay underwater for up to half a minute while hunting and can dive as deep as 70 feet. So they decided to change Scuttle to that bird and, you know, keep Scuttle down there for that part. still was a lot longer than 30 seconds, but who knew, you know, it, whatever. Also, another change in Sebastian's profession. In the 1989 movie, he was a distinguished court composer of King Triton's kingdom. He wrote the song and, you know, was in charge of the song that King Triton's daughter sings, obviously minus Ariel, who didn't show up to the concert. But in this movie, they didn't even have a concert, and he's not a composer, even though he still is in charge of Under the Sea. But he's now more like a right-hand man, I guess, to King Triton. You know, King Triton sends him still to go and watch over Ariel and things like that, but he has nothing really to do with music, obviously, except for, you know, Under the Sea and all that. But that has nothing to do with his occupation. Also, we did not get the cute little fighting scene with Sebastian and Louis, the French chef. But, you know, it is what it is. Another change is Ariel's sisters have more on-screen presence. So she has six sisters. In the original movie, the sisters' names are Atina, Alana, Adela, Aquata, Arista, and Andrina. And they're basically only in the beginning, and then that's pretty much it. But the seven daughters of King Triton represent the seven seas. Ariel obviously represents one of the seas also, but we are never told which ones. But in this version, they rename the sisters. So there's Karina, Tamika, Mala, Caspia, Perla, and Indira. So again, they represent the seven seas, and they have a slightly bigger role. They reunite with their father under the annual coral moon rather than just a concert. They help him clean up the kingdom after another shipwreck, and then are sent out on a search party when Ariel goes missing. And then later on at the end, they do see Ariel off as she goes off with Prince Eric. Another big change is Prince Eric has a backstory. He's not just some random prince living in a castle. So and this is something that I really liked, is that him and Ariel are actually very different. They both want to go out and explore other things to see what else is out there. So that's a big thing for Eric. And besides the fact that he has his own number, like I said, Wild Uncharted Waters, check it out on Spotify. But he wants to see what goes on beyond his kingdom and wants to make sure that his kingdom doesn't get left behind, wants to become trading partners with other, you know, countries and things like that. So I thought that was huge, especially since him and Ariel have so much more in common, which I think really helps their love story grow because they are basically the same. So I thought that was great. Also, another thing was that he was adopted by the king and queen. He came from a shipwreck and was adopted, and that's how he became the prince, which I think has helped him realize that because he wasn't born to that life, he wants to, you know, make it better even more so. So there you go. As a result of learning his backstory, we also get to meet his adoptive mother. So in the original movie, we don't get to meet Prince Eric's parents. His father had passed away before the movie takes place. In here, we do meet his mother, who's the queen, who's being played by Noma Dumizweni. And again, I am so sorry if I pronounced that wrong, but the father did pass away before the movie takes place, but we do meet his mother, who, you know, wants to keep her son more grounded and on land and protected, and, you know, have him find a wife there and just take over the mantle and rule the kingdom, and, you know, keeps urging him to just stay home. So, but again, I thought she did a great job, and it wasn't weird to have her. I actually really thoroughly enjoyed that Eric has a backstory now, you know, like he isn't, again, just some prince waiting in a castle for a princess with nothing, you know. It makes you, I think, love and appreciate Eric even more. Another change is that Ursula is King Triton's estranged sister. Now, I had actually heard of that before from the Broadway musical, so because that's how they did it. So I'm guessing in the original book that was the case, and they changed it for the cartoon version in 1989, but they brought it back for this version, so they were brother and sister. And I think that kind of adds, you know, to Ursula's hatred of King Triton. You know, it's not just, I want to take over the seven seas. It's, you know, I hate you, you know, like you were my brother, but I hate you type of thing. So I do enjoy that. But I guess the biggest thing is Ariel. And I'm not talking about Halle Bailey, who did a phenomenal job, but I'll get to that. But she, the way that they did Ariel, and again, I guess it's because it's 2023 and they're changing things up and, you know, women kind of take care of themselves, but like, she truly was the heroine in her own story. She, you know, didn't wait for someone to save her. She didn't become human just to, you know, meet the prince and fall in love. Like there was just a lot more to her, and that character has grown. Halle Bailey did still do a fantastic job, because where, you know, Ariel is that naive, innocent girl, she played that well, but also she has a lot of strength, which Ariel has. So I just thought that was a great job. And again, at the end, she was the one that saved everybody, you know, instead of her going to like the bottom of the whirlpool and Eric crashing the shipwreck into Ursula, Ariel crashed the ship into Ursula. So she got to be the heroine of the day. So I thought that was fantastic. So yeah, those were some of the big changes. Again, didn't mind any of them at all. I thought a lot of them were great, especially the backstory of Eric, and then seeing the change in Ariel, I thought was phenomenal. And yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. In terms of the cast, again, I thought Halle Bailey did absolutely beyond phenomenal. She was spectacular. Her voice is amazing, absolutely amazing. And I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed her. I enjoyed watching her. Jonah Howard King, I had never heard of him prior to this, but I thought he did fantastic. He has a phenomenal voice as well, but he really got he really made you feel sorry for Prince Eric. And, you know, you wanted to root for him. You know, he made Prince Eric even more likable than I think he already was. So again, fantastic job. Melissa McCarthy is one of my favorites. I mean, I've loved her since she was on Gilmore Girls, and just watching her career thrive, I just thought she did a fantastic job as Ursula. Nailed it. She just nailed it. Again, just amazing. Javier Bardem did a great job as King Triton. I did like the difference between, one thing also, I guess that was a little bit different, at least in my point of view, is Triton kind of kept Ariel at arm's length, where, you know, in the cartoon movie, Ariel called Triton, you know, daddy, and was like, you know, daddy's little girl type of thing. This time she called him father, and it was a very, you know, keep at arm's length, because I guess she reminds him too much of his wife that had, you know, passed away and all that. And, so it was a lot more stiff. And I know some people probably didn't like that and didn't think there was chemistry, but I think that's how it was meant to be, which made the end, when he did let her go, And, you know, he told her, like, no matter what, we will be here. And she said, like, goodbye. Like, it made me cry even more because he finally let her in and now he has to let her go. And he finally gave her what she wanted. And she said, like, thank you for hearing me. And he felt bad that she felt she had to give away her voice in order to be heard. So I just thought that relationship between Triton and Ariel was even more special in this movie because of how they did it, how they, you know, he kept her at arm's length, but then finally, you know, brought her in, and then, you know, she was leaving anyway. So just overall, I thought it was a very, you know, great job. Daveed Diggs, Jacob Tremblay, and Awkwafina, great job doing the voiceovers for Sebastian, Flounder, and Scuttle. I know people were kind of upset about how Sebastian and Flounder looked. I know we already talked about Scuttle. And before I saw this movie and I saw pictures of Flounder and Sebastian, I was one of those people that was like, what the heck? Like, that is not the Flounder that I love. That's not the Sebastian I love. It goes, you know, I think I like kind of ignored it. It didn't bother me when I was watching it because it's not a cartoon. And this is what a crab looks like. This is what a flounder looks like in the real world. You know, so you kind of, at least for me, I kind of didn't, it didn't bother me while I was watching it. Again, it may bother other people and that's perfectly fine. But to me, I just feel like it wasn't as big of a deal as it was to me prior to seeing it. So, but yeah, no, I thought the cast did a spectacular job. The only thing is, you know, sometimes the CGI was a little, you know, you can kind of tell it wasn't real, not as bad as I was expecting. I thought it was going to be worse based on some reviews from critics, but it wasn't that bad, but there were some places that you could, you know, see. Jodie Benson, who was the original Ariel, does make a cameo, which I thought was fantastic. I love when they do that. And yeah, no, I thought overall it was a fantastic movie. I would gladly go see it again. And, you know, obviously there was a lot of controversy about Hailey Bailey being casted because of the color of her skin and all that. Honestly, the girl can sing. She can sing, and she sang the crap out of Part of Your World and did such a phenomenal job. And I'm glad that they kept something from the musical, which was during the reprise after she saves Eric, they do an opt up to the ending of that, and they kept it in, and she nailed it. So I just thought, you know, everything was perfect, and I highly recommend going to see it if you can. And if you have, feel free to reach out and let me know what you guys thought, whether you agree with me on my review. If you think I'm crazy and it was the worst thing you've ever seen, I'll accept all criticisms or, you know, non-criticisms. But I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, because I really did. But thank you again for listening and, you know, joining me on another review. Did you like what you heard on our episode today? Well, then feel free to come back and listen to us again. You can find us on all different streaming sites, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Spotify, you name it, we're there. And if you really like us, feel free to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Three Fates Decide. That's THREE Fates Decide. You can also email us at threefatesdecide@gmail.com. And check out our website at threefatesdecide.com to find other episodes, information about your three hosts, and all of our other links. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Three Fates Decide.
Are you ready to wow your friends with trivia tidbits about your favorite books and authors? Join me, Jess.
And me, Rachel.
On our new Book Trivia Podcast.
Each episode, we kick off with some fun book trivia, then dive into our featured read with plenty of juicy behind-the-scenes insights.
If you love books, authors, and a side of silliness, then why not give us a listen?
Find us at booktriviapodcast.com or on Reddit, Instagram, and Substack, where we are Book Trivia Podcast.